Welcome. It is the 11th of May, 2012. This is episode 8 of C12. Our sponsor this week is Udemy. C12 is brought to you by the company that enables anyone to take and build courses online. Their goal is to disrupt and democratize education by enabling anyone to learn from the world's experts. Visit Udemy.com and follow them on Twitter at Udemy. We thank them for the support of C12. This week in K-12, we have a few interesting stories to wrap up the week. Search King Google is actually doing something that I've been begging teachers to do for a long time now. They're actually providing, aligned with the Common Core, believe it or not, a curriculum that is designed to help students search better. And as most teachers know, students are miserable searchers. And in fact, most people are not very good searchers. Not all of us get to have the benefit of being bloggers who kind of watch Google for a living. Google, though, is actually launching a number of resources along these lines and is, of course, mapped into the Common Core standards. They're hoping that, help students find effective search terms, narrow their results, gather sources of evidence, and critically evaluate the credibility of sources, which is really what we've been talking about all along. So we'll see how they actually work in practice, but I expect that this will actually be quite a useful piece of information, hopefully heading out to librarians and media specialists everywhere. Synchronize iPads with Nearpod. So Nearpod is out and it's available. It's been featured in a few of the tech publications. The idea really is that teachers can deliver synchronized lessons with students with their iPods or with their iPads, which seems like a pretty good idea, but then if you think through it, it's a pretty nicely synchronized lesson when a teacher just has a computer and a projector. So the lessons that you can prepare are actually nicely multimedia, and they're flexible and interesting. You can check this all out on Nearpod.com. You can store up to, it looks like, 30 lessons before you start needing to pay for more lessons. But I think the question will be, is this yet another actual app looking for a problem to solve with those iPads, or looking for some way to use those iPads that so many schools have jumped on without a clear understanding of exactly what they should be doing with them. So we will see. But definitely worth checking out if you happen to have iPads in your room. You should probably give this app a go. It's a free download and free utility until you start exceeding your number of allowed stored lessons. The Innosight Institute, though, InnosightInstitute.org, also has a new white paper out. It's focused on classifying K-12 blended learning, which at first sounds like a fairly dry white paper, perhaps it seems as though we may not need to classify what we do in the classroom with technology. I think that, though, the value here is going to be for those education students, college students who are giving thought to education, and researchers in how we educate our students, really being able to define classes, define some pedagogy, define those things that really right now are fairly amorphous in our field. So being able to look a little more closely at K-12 blended learning in a more structured way certainly does lend itself to some teaching and professional development that may not have otherwise been there. So check out the NSA Institute. Their white papers are usually pretty good, actually. This one is also a nice idea and well-written, and there's actually some great infographics on it, so worth checking out, especially as you're doing some professional development with your instructors. We mentioned on Review Ed, but the Cody Awards were released this week, and there's a few in K-12 that are particularly noteworthy. There's actually several from K-12, but a few that caught my eye, either companies that I have focused on in the past or would like to focus on now because they have some interesting prospects to them. The best classroom management system is Wowzers from the company Wowzers. It's actually a very cool system that is not too juvenile, but is still pretty accessible. The K-12 course or learning management solution, we had McGraw-Hill on last week for a special feature, and their networks, a social studies learning system from McGraw-Hill Education, won K-12 course award. So actually very, very interesting there. Best reading and English instructional solution remains Into Books by ePals. I've followed ePals for a long time. They have a great social platform that is really, they have free stuff. They have non-free stuff. They've integrated with Live at EDU, now Live 365, or Office 365 for Education. New York City uses them. A lot of schools use them. They use them primarily for their tools for connecting people via email and various bits of communication. Originally, ePals was really a neat site or neat way for connecting with other pen pals, only electronically. And so you'd have interactions happening between schools in the U.S. and sister schools in China and so on. Now they really broadened that, and their in-to-book solution, they've had this for quite a while, actually, but hasn't received quite as much attention. So glad to see that in-to-books is getting there. Best educational use of a mobile device, BrainPop. The BrainPop featured movie app, well worth the recognition. Actually, a very cool app. And then one that certainly strikes a chord with me: the best instructional solution for special needs students. Rethink Autism. The Rethink Autism website, definitely a rethinking of how we approach it, and a site worth checking out. So you can get all of those over on SIIA.net. The complete list is there. And there's actually some other very good ones over there. These just caught my eye. Another story and final story for the week, actually, and this is something that is at first sounds not really EdTech related, but then we'll say it is. So EdWeek is featuring a story on meal plans and students who are basically in arrears, and parents, of course, therefore, who are in arrears on their school lunches. And we have bill collectors being used, constables going after parents to pay school lunches. Schools are actually scaling back the sizes of their lunches or providing alternative lunches to their students. My own school district provides a cheese sandwich to people who don't pay. And there are plenty of people who can't pay, so at least they get some sort of nutrition. But New York City alone has, not that it isn't large, but it has amassed a $42 million uncollected lunch bill. So really, this is, of course, not all schools are at the scale of New York City, but it is actually quite a large problem. It's where the EdTech comes in is that we now all of a sudden have lots of systems for tracking student data, whether they're student information systems or specifically school lunch systems. All of a sudden, all of these administrators and school cafeteria workers are all being inundated with data, which all show that people aren't paying. So really, the interesting piece here is we all know the economy stinks. We know that people are struggling. But what we may not have known is that the analytics and the information we have doesn't just apply to student test scores. It applies to really all aspects of school life. So that's actually another story worth checking out, but look at it from the perspective of data analytics and not the social comment that it most likely is. So that wraps up C12 News of the Week, and thank you for joining us.